Coming up next, we're going to have John Gallant. Now, John has a really interesting presentation. He's going to be talking to us about secretless development from local to cloud with the new Azure SDKs, Project Tai, and Kubernetes. So it sounds like there's a lot of cool stuff in here, John. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and let you take over.
All right, great. Thank you. All right, so I'm John Gallant. I'm on the Azure SDK team, and I do a bunch of work with Azure Developer Experience. With things like Project Tai and deploying to Kubernetes, I work with Storage Explorer, Azurite, a bunch of these tools that surround the developer experience. A lot of the things I do, I build apps, and I learn a lot and give that feedback to the product teams, as well as work with partner teams like Project Tai. So today, what we're going to cover, let's go to the next slide here. Three big things. The new Azure SDK, we heard Jeff talk a little bit about that, the new preview Project Tai, and how that all relates to Azure Kubernetes. So a quick mention about the new Azure SDK effort. Please go back and view Jeff's talk earlier, but the gist of it is that it's all about developer productivity. So what we want to do is help improve developer productivity for our team, as well as anybody using Azure. So when we joined or formed the team a couple years ago, we looked at the landscape of the Azure SDKs, and we discovered that they're spread out amongst many repositories. So we have, I think, dozens, maybe 100 repositories out there with all the various languages and services. It was really hard to keep track and didn't have a consistent experience, which means developer productivity dropped. So what we wanted to do is say, how can we improve things? And we said, let's have consistent language support, consistent OS support, a consistent CI/CD pipeline, as well as consistent package delivery to all of the mainstream package managers. So you can see at the top, it's kind of chaos, what we adopted. And the new is the bottom is what our aim is to go to something much more consistent, much more predictable. And so we have all of these design guidelines that we'll talk a little bit about later, but they're all open source and we'll reference those. So to get to the main SDK website, aka MSAZSDK, which we'll take a look at in a minute. And then a 3-minute video that I created, aka MSAZSDK/intro, will bring you through that in much more detail, as much detail as we can get in 3 minutes. So what we're going to talk about today is how we can use Azure SDK and Tai together to build secretless applications. And by secretless, I mean the only secrets that are stored are in Key Vault. So local development as well as cloud development, you are not storing or having to manage your own service principles. And we can do that through the new Azure Identity Library, which we'll talk about in a minute. So locally, we are using Azure CLI, the credentials that you already have. And in the cloud, we're using Managed Identity. And any other secrets, like I said, are stored in Key Vault. So how that looks is like this. So the new Azure Identity Libraries provide us with this object or this class called the Token Credential. And we have a slew of classes that are derived from Token Credential. And Token Credential basically gets tokens. And so from a developer experience perspective, you have the Azure CLI credential, you have VS Code credential, you have Visual Studio credential, and a slew of other developer credentials. So for Java, we have IntelliJ credential, for example. So for .NET, we have those three plus environment variables, plus interactive browser control, a ton of these credential types available that you can use in your application. And so what that means is that when you're already logged into one of these tools, you'll be able to use that identity to authenticate with Azure. So for example, if you're Azure CLI, you do AZ login, you assign roles to your principal, to your account, and then you access, say, blob storage. And in production, you use managed identity. So this is a quick code example on what Azure identity looks like. We have var cred equals new default Azure credential. So default Azure credential is an opinionated chain token credential. So what that means is it first looks for environment credential. So to look for Azure underscore client underscore ID underscore client underscore secret and tenant ID that you have stored in environment variables. It'll look for managed identity and then a slew of developer credentials, Azure CLI, and so on. So it's an opinionated way of building a chain token credential, which you can see on this on the next line here is an example of a custom chain token credential. So if you don't want to use Azure Credential, you want a very your own chain, you can build a however you like. So you have managed identity credential here and then Azure CLI. So what this does is it will first try managed identity credential, a fast fail. If that fails, it will try Azure CLI credential. If it can't find it either, it will just fail. And then as you can see, getting back to the consistency and productivity part of things, you can see that the last line there is new secret client. So all of our clients, all of them that support OAuth and token-based authentication, accept a token credential as one of the parameters into the constructor. So you see URI here, that's the URI to your key vault. And the credential is one of these objects that you've constructed. The clients are smart enough to know when it needs a token. So you don't have to get a token at a time. You just pass that in. It will call get token on that token credential object and be on its way. So let's take a quick look at a quick breeze through. This is the app we're going to look at a little later. Take a quick look here. So we have the Azure SDK website. So this is AZ SDK, AKSMS AZ SDK. So all of the releases here, you can see that we have a lot of packages. So when we started, when we built this website back in November of last year, I think we had 7. Yeah, it's continuing to grow. These are the libraries that follow the new design guidelines. As you can see, we have many that are in GA and we ship betas continuously. We ship monthly. So you can come here, you can find all of the new client libraries, all the new resource management libraries, which are in preview for .NET. And then this all tab, is I've been working hard on this, but this is all of the libraries that have ever been published for Azure. There's a lot of them out there. What we're trying to do is, as part of our inventory, is collect them all. And we decided to just open source all of them so you can find. So this is like the de facto list of packages. And we have the same across all the languages. So let's just take a look at the website. So up at the top, we have blog. So let's make sure that you are subscribed to our blog. And we have weekly posts, sometimes twice a week. And we also have guest posters. And so we are, if you have a good experience with the Azure SDK or want to, share your experience, please do contact me and I can set you up to be a guest blogger. Daniel Krzyzkowski did a good post. Mike McCall did one. We have a lot of good posts out there that you can go and follow up and read on. So also from this website, we have all the guidelines, open source, published right there that you can review. You really shouldn't have to, but sometimes it's good to go and reference and see, what were the design decisions behind the libraries and so on. And also we have the releases page, which is this, and we have the API reference, which we'll talk about in a second. We have this GitHub link here, which takes you to the central repositories. It links to everything that we create are here. So we call this kind of the landing repository. It's a good one to go to. And then obviously we're on Twitter. So Azure SDK, please go follow us right now. And we post quite regularly about new SDK stuff coming up. So definitely good to subscribe there. So let's take a look at a scenario. Say you're looking for the table client. You come here, you click on client libraries because you know you want the new latest one. And you find table. Okay, so then you see the tables is in beta right now, beta 2. We have Microsoft Docs, we have GitHub Docs, and we have the source code all linked there. So if you wanted to install it, you click the NuGet link, you add a package however you'd like through the .NET and CLI, package manager, what have you. And then you go here, these are the official Microsoft documents for the client library. And it contains the latest version, a preview version, and the old version. So what we did is we, currently this platform doesn't support every version ever published. So what we did is we created a website like this that publishes every version of the library documentation. So if you happen to be on a version that is not mainstream, we hope to provide that documentation for you. But eventually those will be merged, so you don't have to worry about that. And then we also provide a link directly to the source code from that releases page. So if you have to debug something, you want to research something, or whatever you need to do with that. Okay, So let's switch back over to slides. So that was just a quick introduction there to the Azure SDK. So let's talk a little bit about this app I've been building. So I wanted to build an app that uses as many of these Azure SDK libraries as possible and something that we can continually grow on. So if we have a new library come out, we could integrate it into the apps. And one of the libraries that we support includes extracting text and analyzing sentiment. And I thought, what better way than to extract text from memes and decide if they're positive, negative, or neutral memes? So I created Memealizer. And this is all open source, John.gio, Memealizer on GitHub. So let's talk about it. So you click the plus sign under the logo. This is not currently public because it's easily hacked. And I didn't want the risk of having images out there that were not safe for kids. So when you click plus, it will add a random meme from Reddit to the list here. It will extract the text, determine the sentiment of that text, and then change the border color. So green is going to be positive, yellow is going to be neutral, and red is going to be negative. My kid actually uses this. He'll come here, he'll click plus and just read memes for a bit. He finds it entertaining. So there's some value here. So the goodness behind the funness is this architecture here. And so what we have here are a Blazor WebAssembly web app. So I tried to use all the latest and greatest stuff in building this. So Blazor WebAssembly has been a treat to work with. ASP.NET API, a .NET service, which is actually just a console app that runs in a container, as well as an Azure function. And so how that works is you post an image. See number one there, you post an image to the API. The API adds it to blob storage, adds it to a queue. The .NET service receives those messages, extracts the text. Number six gets the sentiment, saves the document. And right now that we have a data provider model, so we can try the new Cosmos library or the new tables library. And so there's a switch there that you can turn off and on through configuration. And then once that's saved, it goes back to another queue, back to the Azure function, signal our service, and then back to the Blazor front end. There's obviously many ways you can build this app. You can do functions, you can do whatever you want. But I wanted to build something that uses as many of the libraries as possible. Speaking of libraries, I mentioned the Azure table library that we are in beta. Let's take a look at this next slide. I think you're going to find this interesting. So I've been working a lot with the storage team to get us to a point where we can ship AzureWrite with table support. It's been a huge ask to the community. For those of you who don't know, AzureWrite is a cross-plat Azure storage emulator. It's had blobs and it's had queues for a while. And if you wanted to use table, you had to use like an old version. And so a kind of very bad experience. So we worked hard to get a preview one ready for today. And so now this app, the app is all running on preview one. AzureWrite is running, so I'm saving the table storage. I pushed out a sample at John.gio, AzureWrite-table-tie. Go take a look at that. Please use it. Let us know if it works or not. We're also working hard to get that to work in durable functions. So coming soon on that. So let's go and take a look at how we're doing secretless in the Memealizer codebase. So this is an identity class here. This has a chain token credential, and I'm calling get credential chain. And this is shared amongst all my clients, so you can reuse this. And I am saying I want to use manage identity and Azure CLI credential, just like we saw in the slide earlier. Okay. Then when I new up my clients, I have my data provider and I initialize it based on some config value. I initialize my data provider and I pass it that same credential that I initialized up here. I then initialize my other clients. So I have app config, I have blob, I have queue, I have another queue, I have form recognizer and text analytics, all using that same Azure CLI credential for local or managed identity when I ship to production. Okay. And then in the queue service, you just new up that client, initialize async, and then you can access your clients that way. So all I had to do locally is just AZ login, and this just works. Inside of my Cosmos data provider, how I have no secrets is when I want to get my Cosmos key, so Cosmos doesn't officially support, you know, Azure Active Directory or OAuth. So what we need to do is store the secret somewhere. We don't want to store it in application code at all. So we want to put it in Key Vault. So I'm using that same credential. My credential has the appropriate permissions to access Key Vault. I'm getting that secret name. And then when I new up my Cosmos client here, I'm passing it that key. I also took it a step further. So I've been playing with functions a bit. And I realized that functions can use some work when it comes to the secretless development paradigm. They expect you to store your settings in local settings or environment variables. But for locally, what I wanted to do is store locally and production, store my secrets connection strings in Key Vault. And so what I'm doing here is inside of the function startup configure method, I am calling Key Vault using the Key Vault clients. I am getting the secrets, and then I am setting an in-memory collection here and then adding those to environment variables. And then the client sync function just automatically works. So let's take a look at that here. So you can inject regular environment variables into the bindings like so. And you can also pull this from an environment variable here, which I set in my startup. So a super good way to integrate Key Vault into Azure Functions, okay? And then just quick look, this is my .env file. It's super simple and it works across all of my applications. So whenever I load an app, I always just load my .env file. So this is all Terraform. So all the Terraform scripts are up there that you can use in your own apps. But I just have a couple of variables here. So there's no secrets stored in my code at all. Okay, so let's jump back to the slides. So the next big thing that we're gonna talk about is Project Tai. So as I was bringing my app to Kubernetes, I discovered that, wow, it is very difficult to do inner loop Kubernetes development in the current state. There's so many tools and so many YAMLs, and just the cognitive overload is crazy. And so what I did was I did a phone a friend a lot. So Vita has been helping me out. Noel has been helping me out to try and figure this out. But there's so many things that you have to do when you want to take an application from local to containers to Docker Compose to Azure Kubernetes Service. There's so much. And so as I was doing this, Fowler said, hey, check out Project Tai. I did, and I'll tell you what, I love it. It's absolutely a lifesaver, and I'm gonna show you how. So basically on the left, you have all these tools. On the right, you have Project Tai. I'm gonna get into this in detail. So we have all of these things that you need to do for inner loop development, right? When your end game is Kubernetes, when you know that you're going to have to ship to Kubernetes, meaning that you're going to have to containerize your app, you're going to have to think about all the Kubernetes things, you have to go through a certain flow. And a lot of people want copy and paste from existing applications that they've already built, don't know that Compose exists, don't know that Scaffold exists, and just don't know that these tools exist. So they struggle really hard to get anything going and often just leave in frustration, which was, I was there many times. So let's talk about each of the things that you need to do and how Tai can replace them. And I'm gonna switch back and forth between codes so you can see what I'm talking about. Okay, first thing, containerize projects. So with other tools, you have to create Docker files. You have to know what base image you need to go for. You need to know that you need to publish your .NET application and bind to this DLL and all of that work. And then you have Blazor, which uses Nginx. You have which can use Nginx. And all of that is, for somebody who hasn't done containers and just, let's say you're a .NET developer and never done containers, there's that step that you have to go through to learn about Docker and learn about Docker files. Eventually you should, but should you have to in order to get something running? With Project Tai, you create an app, and then you call Tai run, and it will automatically detect that you have an application in your directory, and it will run it just without you having to create a Docker file. Okay, so let's just switch over to that here. So this is a typical Docker file that I had to create for each part of my application, right? And so I have MCR, you know, Microsoft .NET, SDK 5.0. I upgraded all these to 5.0 recently. And then, you know, you got to do a bunch of things. You got to know to do all of this stuff. With Tai, I don't have to do any of that. I don't have to create a Docker file. Now, you can create your own Docker file, totally fine, but you don't have to, and that's the point. Okay, so here, the next step. Okay, so you've containerized your apps. Now you need to run them. You need to start them. You need to tear them down all together. How do you do that? It's typical to go with the Docker Compose approach, which it's just that. You do DC up, or Docker Compose up, Docker Compose down, and it will start and stop your services. Okay, so up until this point, yes, it's one-to-one. Tie YAML to Docker Compose. And as an aside, the team is looking at Docker Compose as potentially have parity with Docker Compose. So to make it easier to go from Docker Compose to Tie. But as of right now, there's a few differences. So what we do is we say Tie run Tie YAML, and that will give us the specifications of the applications that we want to start and stop, and they have tagging and so on. So let's just take a look. So inside of my run, so this is a simple Tai run here, right? So simple Tai run is going to by default use the Tai YAML file that's in the directory. There's a bunch of flags. We'll talk about some of those in a bit, but that's Tai run. So I just created this script called run, which wraps Tai, because Tai currently doesn't do environment variable replacement, which I need. So I have a couple of scripts to do that work for me. So let's just take a look here. So we have Tai. This is what a Tai YAML file looks like. And you can see here, I'm using that alpha of Azurite, which includes table storage right there. You can tag, so you can filter. So I only want Azurite for dev. You can say, I want a web app. Here are the ports. Here's what I want to bind in my container. Here's the API container ports. And it also supports ingress. So you can say, map this URL, this path, to this service. Even locally, this even works locally. And so it's super, super nice. And this having ingress here saved me from having to do a bunch of config, especially with Blazor. Blazor WebAssembly doesn't have service discovery built into it yet because it runs in the browser. And so Tai does service discovery. I'm not going to get into it, but where you can, Tai will automatically discover your services for you. But having ingress allowed me to just minimize my configuration for that. Okay, so that's Tai YAML. Now let's take a look at the next one. So debug, debug symbols in a container. I've talked to some of the people that I trust in this space, and they just like, I don't have a way to do this consistently that I really like. And so it's not something that people do typically and do it with ease. And when you want to do it, it's pretty complicated. And so the Tai's way to solve that is to add a dash dash debug. And after debug, you can put a service name. You can say dash dash debug, queue service, for example. And that will wait. It'll spit out the process ID and it will wait for you to attach a debugger to that process. So let's take a look at that. So here in my debug right there, I'm doing Tai run, still Tai run, right? But I have this debug down here. See that? And I'm saying, wait for this service. Pretty cool, huh? Okay, so what you do is you open up the project for that service, you attach, it'll stop at breakpoints. It works beautifully. Another option to debug is the Tai Explorer VS Code plugin extension, sorry. So you can come here, you can click on this little bug icon here to attach to a running process. Super slick. I tried it a couple of times, and so I installed the extension. Works great. Next thing, scaffold or watching files. Typically, you use scaffold, which is another YAML. With Tai, so what this will do is it will watch files, rebuild your containers, deploy to Kubernetes. With Tai, you do Tai run dash dash watch. Which is pretty self-explanatory, for Kubernetes files. So we want to go from Docker Compose to Kubernetes files, which you need to deploy. So you have to use something to convert them, or you have to copy and paste, as my friends say. Compose with a K, you feed it your Docker Compose YAML, and it outputs Kubernetes manifest files. So with Tai, you don't have to worry about those manifest files at all. But if you want to, you can use the Tai generate method, which will spit out the file. So let's just take a quick look at that. Take a look here. So this is after running Tai generate. Yeah. So here you go. So deployment, all of this stuff, all the services, all of those things are all defined right there in that, including ingress. So like I said, you don't have to think about it, but it's available if you need it. Right. The next thing is deploy. So when you want to deploy to Kubernetes, you can use kubectl, you can build a Helm chart, or instead of those things, you can use Tai deploy. And that's going to talk to a container registry. It's going to build your containers. It's going to push that registry, and it's going to push your Kubernetes manifest files to the Kubernetes context that you've specified, right? So super, super handy. Taking a look, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, potentially 7 tools that Tai replaces. And I personally can't see myself going back to the old way. And I wish I would have had Tai, you know, months ago when I started. So I hope you check it out. I hope you start there and don't have to go through the pain that I went through. So let's take a look here. Okay, so let's wrap it up. So I want you to get in touch with me, anybody else on the Azure SDK team. You can contact us. You can follow through Twitter. Give us feedback on GitHub. We are on GitHub. We have all our repositories, our issues, everything is filed there. So please do go visit us on GitHub. All of our releases, start using them, contributing to them. Subscribe to our blog. So two big things to check out: new Azure SDKs and Tai. So thank you very much. Let's take some questions.
All right, John. So looks like you've got some questions for you. So let's get to it. First one's from Dan. Dan is asking, question for John. Desktop apps can't have managed identities. How can a store app access Key Vault without storing credentials strings in source code or config files?
Yeah, so in that case, you would want to use something like the interactive browser control. And what that allows you to do is to the end user would get a pop-up and say, authenticate, and then at that point, if you have MFA enabled, they would follow that authentication path. So that's a good way. I know a lot of people in the identity space, but please do reach out to me on Twitter if that doesn't answer, and we can get that result for you.
Sure. All right, let's move on to the next one. Alex is asking, do you have any advice towards Git repo structure for making it easier to use tools like Tai? It makes sense to combine several microservices into one repo. On the other hand, dividing in several repos makes releasing / deploying individual services easier.
Yeah, so one of the things with Tai is that you can specify as a service, you can specify other YAML files. So you can do that construction like you're talking about. For my sample app, Memalizer, I decided to put all in one Tai YAML file. And somebody else asked a question today too on Twitter, which was, how do I manage, building and deploying only certain, services? So there's a lot of these complex scenarios that I would love to dig deeper into. So all the capabilities might not be there right now, but let's hear your scenario and let's flesh it out.
All right, sure. And I think we have time for just one more question. And this one is coming from Metro Developer. This person is asking, can I use Cosmos DB instead of Azure Table?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can use Azure. You can use Cosmos DB instead of Table for sure. And take a look at the Memalizer repository. I actually have a data provider in there where you can switch between the two, but it's full code for both Cosmos and Table. The Table, Azurite supports Table emulator, but Cosmos has its own emulator, if that's what you meant. Yeah.
All right, great. Well, John, thank you so much, man. That was a great presentation. I know for me, I've been playing around a lot with Tai, so
yeah,
I didn't
great.
Know until today that there was a VS Code extension. So I'm going to make sure I spend some time today and go ahead and check that out.
You got to know some people. No, it's coming.
Apparently, I don't know the right people, man. I need to work that out.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
All right, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.